When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
Good morning, everybody. Let's check in and see how the weekend was. Abby, how was your trip down to Florida to see the rents?
It was pretty good. It kind of ended up being this happy accident where both my brother and I were down in Jacksonville, my hometown, at the same time. I wasn't supposed to be down there that weekend. When I thought we were supposed to be on vacation the first week of April, I had scheduled some doctor appointments for that week and then had to cancel them because we weren't going to be on vacation. And then I rescheduled them for that Friday because it was kind of like the only Friday that worked. And I was like, oh, it's also Mother's Day weekend. So I flew down, went to my doctor's appointments. And then me and my brother, my mom, my dad kind of got to live out old times and just bop around Florida and, you know, hang out. It was great.
What about you, Mo?
It was good. I was supposed to go to New York, but I didn't make it. It was too many moving parts, so I decided just to stay here. Plus, it was better for my knee. But I did send my mom flowers and all the mothers in my life flowers, and I paid for her to have dinner with my grandmother. So it ended up being a good weekend for her.
Aw. And she's doing good?
She's doing well.
Good. Cass?
I drove. My husband drove us to Louisiana, so 20 hours of driving over the weekend just to see mom for all day Saturday. Totally worth it. So it was a successful Mother's Day. She was so surprised when we got to the front door. My dad was in on it, and he's like, I'm going to pretend it's a FedEx package until she has to sign on it. So it's like 8:30 at night when we arrive, and we're all huddled outside, and I'm trying to keep a five-year-old and a three-year-old quiet. And so she's coming to the door at 8:30 at night to sign for a FedEx package, but she was totally blown away.
Oh, I bet she was so happy to see you
she
and
was.
The grandbabies.
Yeah.
All right, so the running joke, even though, yes, it was a joke, but also I'm just trying to help a man out to make sure I get the Mother's Day of my dreams. I had given my husband, had sent him an email and had detailed for you guys last week every single like moving part from yesterday to make sure I had a good Mother's Day. And let me say, my man's crushed it.
Really?
I mean, crushed it. So I asked for, at 10 a.m., a small cappuccino from Alon's Bakery and a pan au chocolat to be delivered to my bed for breakfast in bed. Alon's doesn't have stevia, so we were going to have to use stevia from our stash downstairs. And I needed the croissant microwave for approximately 7 seconds for, like, that perfect toastiness. 10 o'clock on the dot, Jimmy and Bart come upstairs with a tray that has a chocolate croissant, my small cappuccino, and a stevia. So I'm like, all right, this is promising. And then Bart literally has to grab Jimmy out of the bed and carry him upside down downstairs so I could sit there and just scroll Instagram and do my Mother's Day post, which I did. At 12:30, I went and did yoga, had a great yoga sesh. And then after that, walked next door to detox and got me a smoothie. Came home, took a shower by myself, per requested. Got out of the shower. Bart comes up at 2:30. He's like, are you ready? And I'm like, okay, so I need like 10 more minutes. But yeah, he goes, do you want us to bring it up here? Do you want to come down? I'm like, I'll come downstairs. And I had requested as gifts a peony plant because, you know, Bart gives me hydrangea plants for anniversaries. And now Jimmy's gift for me is a peony plant and just a homemade card. So I come downstairs. They're both hiding in the playroom. And Jimmy's like, Mama, go sit down. So I go sit down in the kitchen. He brings out his homemade card that had a love heart on it, which was so sweet. And then I'm like, okay, you ready for your, he's like, you ready for your gift, Mama? And I'm like, yeah. And so I thought they were going to go get the plant and bring it out. And then I was going to be on my way to Bistro Nico to have like, you know, late lunch by myself. No, they come out with this little bitty box, this tiny little box that was wrapped impeccably. So I know neither one of them did it. And it was so funny because Jimmy hands me the box and I'm like, oh my goodness. And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, Mom, it's a ring.
I couldn't hold it.
No, like before I could even. So I open it up and these fools went to Worthmore Jewelers and got me a gorgeous ring that is Jimmy's birthstone.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow.
It is beautiful.
Yes.
Is that a cushion cut I see?
I believe so.
Stunning.
It's actually like a little mini engagement ring. It's very similar to my engagement ring, but yeah, it's my new right hand ring.
Wow.
And it's Jimmy's birthstone. What? And I was like, what?
I imagine you weren't too upset they went rogue.
No.
Okay.
No, not in the least bit.
So no peony?
No peony, but I think this is a good substitute.
I'd say.
Yeah, I'd take that.
What is this birthstone? Is that an aquamarine? Mm-hmm. The beautiful light blue shade.
Yeah. March is aquamarine, and so that's his birthstone. So then at that point, I was like, well, this is a more extravagant gift than I anticipated. Do I still go and do like my late lunch, blah, blah, blah? And of course I did. So then I went to Bistro Nico and I sat there by myself. I brought my book. I sat there by myself and I had a lovely little three-course meal, just taking my sweet time. And then it was like, okay, do I go across the street and get a foot massage or do I get profiteroles? And I really wanted a sweet treat. So I opted for dessert at Bistro Nico and sat there and had another glass of wine and then went home where I kid you not, I walked in the door and there on the counter waiting for me per my request in my email, a chilled glass of Sauvignon Blanc.
Wow.
Perfect.
Bart handled bath time and bedtime and then end scene. It was amazing. So listen, I 10 out of 10 recommend if you got a man that struggles with like gift giving and if you want to ensure you have like your version of what is a perfect Mother's Day, send that man an email. Just give him an itinerary and let him do his thing.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
He gave you the gift of following instructions.
He did.
I love that for you.
I didn't have to make one decision all day, Abby.
That sounds so lovely.
That's beautiful.
It was.
Okay, this is quickly becoming my new favorite entertainment story to report on because I just can't believe how delightfully unhinged it is. We got to talk about Bill Belichick and his little concubine girlfriend. So this is everything to do with Bill Belichick's new girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, who is 24 years old, by the way. I think she's competing in the Miss Maine pageant this weekend, or I don't know if they've crowned a winner yet, but I kept seeing headlines pop up, and I was like, I'm too busy with my actual family. I'm going to focus on this week.
That's fair.
Well, anyway, but stories were coming out earlier in the weekend talking about how she allegedly got banned from all the UNC football facilities. So Bill Belichick is currently the head coach of the UNC Tar Heels, and it was very controversial a couple of weeks or a couple months back, he had requested that any of the official emails between him and the football staff be forwarded to Jordan Hudson, his girlfriend, which everyone thought was a little suspicious. Like, okay, it's one thing to have this young, hot girlfriend to like trot around, but to have her included in all of your business dealings feels a little suspicious. Now people are even feeling like maybe she is... There have been jokes going around that she's like his dominatrix, like she's kind of running stuff because of that weird CBS interview that came out and she kind of shut down some of the questions. So then she also looked like his PR manager. There just seems to be this very weird dynamic where she is clearly running things behind the scenes for this 73-year-old man.
So does she have like a title per se? Like, is she a business manager? Is she a personal assistant? Or is she just still functioning and making these requests as his girlfriend?
If she does have an official title, I don't think we know what it is.
But BC.
BC?
Mm-hmm. Business concubine.
I did see on Gronk and what's the other guy's name? Julian Edelman. Yeah, their podcast. They referenced some other Patriots front office member, like they compared her to him, like she's running things like this guy did. I can't remember what his name is. So maybe behind the scenes, it is more common knowledge that she's like his personal assistant. I don't know what's going on. But journalist Pablo Torre released an episode of his podcast, Pablo Torre Finds Out. And in it, he made claims that he had heard from sources that she was exercising so much power over his business dealings that she had been banned from the UNC football facilities, which everyone was like, ooh, scandal. Whoa. What's going on there? Mm-hmm. And then UNC had to put out an official statement. UNC officials came out with a statement that said that she is not employed by the university, but she is still welcome at the facility. So whatever source told him something was going on must have been lying.
This is all interesting because I think I, like most people, just assume that Bill Belichick being the older one in this situation, like that he was in control of what is happening, what's going on. But the more I hear, the more I feel like maybe he's not.
I think this is starting to feel like she's almost like taking care of an elder. You know what I mean? Like it's like one of those visiting angel situations, but instead of like a sweet nurse in her 30s, she's his concubine
exactly.
or whatever. It's just a very bizarre situation.
And the kids have stayed mum?
Well, remember the daughter-in-law of Stephen Belichick, she commented on one of the posts that was talking about, on that Julian Edelman and Gronk podcast clip where it was Nikki Glaser defending Jordan Hudson, basically being like, if any other PR person done the same thing, nobody would have said anything, coming to Jordan's defense. And then Belichick's daughter-in-law was like, no, a PR person would have exercised more professionalism. So something is going on with the kids too. Like, we have to know that they are not in approval of this, which I don't think any kids would be, right? No. So something suspicious is going on, and the more the story develops, the more interested I get. Okay, this weekend, of course, was Mother's Day, and some reports have come out of the most popular fictional moms that have gotten Googled over the course of the weekend. Now, I feel like everyone kind of has, like, that comfort mom character, like that show you watched growing up. Maybe it was Gilmore Girls or, like, Marge Simpson. Everyone has that comfort mom. Do you guys have a favorite TV show mom character?
Probably Claire Huxtable from the Cosby's. Yeah.
Comfort character.
That's actually the same.
Yeah.
I have so many like Disney Channel shows where I'm like, oh my God, the moms in all of them. Like, I feel like they raised me in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the most popular moms that were Googled over the weekend were Morticia Addams from the Addams Family. Not exactly a comfort character.
That's an interesting one.
And also the mother of dragons, Daenerys Targaryen. Interesting. Yeah. Not exactly the most comfortable of characters. All right, Taylor Swift has been subpoenaed to testify in court in the Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni case.
It happened?
Oh, yeah. It happened this weekend, and her rep came out with a statement. But I'm going to tell you what reports are saying they want to ask her about specifically on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
95 bridesmaids.
What?
This woman had 95 bridesmaids.
I don't even know 95 people.
Right.
All right, so this story is going viral. A woman in Northern Ireland named Catherine Stewart just got married, and she ended up with 95 bridesmaids. So she said it started with 7 or 8, which is where a lot of weddings will like top out, right? But apparently she runs a dance school, and she just decided to include all of her dancers. So her new husband, Jack, did not have 95 groomsmen, by the way. He had 8.
Loser.
I know.
unpopular freak.
So their entire wedding ended up being like 250 guests. 103 of them were in the wedding party. So that's like, you know, almost half the wedding party. All of them walked down the aisle.
Wow.
Catherine said it actually went faster than you'd think. Photos weren't a problem either because they're dancers, so they know how to get in formation and organize themselves very quickly. So, yeah, when I read like she had a dance school and she included everybody, and I was like, oh, that's kind of sweet or whatever. And maybe they just, you know, bridesmaids in quotations, kind of like it's an honorary title. But no, every single one of them walked down the aisle.
I wouldn't even want to do that. Like, if I was invited to be one of the 95, I think I would be like, I'm all set.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I'm busy that weekend.
Well, that, it kind of diminishes the title a little bit. It doesn't feel as special if everybody gets to be a bridesmaid, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Now, you would think 95 is the record. Tis not.
Really?
So there is an American woman from Florida who has the record for the most bridesmaids. Any guesses? Obviously, it's higher than 95.
120.
Higher.
200.
Lower.
150?
168 bridesmaids.
How is that possible?
That's bigger than some people's weddings.
Yeah, I didn't even have that many people at my wedding.
She was like, so I clicked on that, like that story. She's like, there was so much love and laughter. Record-setting bride had 168 bridesmaids. And there's a photo of all of them. I mean, they're all wearing black for whatever reason and red shoes.
I wonder how long that wedding took.
I don't know, but that would be a nightmare.
Oh, no.
All right, so Jackson, you thought this was going to be an easy side hustle, easy money, but it's proving to be a little more difficult than you anticipated.
I wouldn't say I expected it to be easy, but I didn't expect it to be so hard, I think.
Okay.
So I came on here talking about how I wanted to kind of get into maybe a side hustle, maybe it could turn into something bigger, but just at least dip my toe in the water and see how it went. And that's into the entire world of voiceover work and voice acting, right? I have no formal acting training. I have no formal any training of any of the matter of any media that I've done, obviously. And so I was like, what's the harm in at least trying? So I reached out to some people. I talked to Kaylee, who's done some voiceover work. Mo, I reached out to your boy Keon, who has also done a lot of voiceover work. And so I was sort of getting the lay of the land, doing some research online. And before I got too ahead of myself, everyone was basically saying, it's important that you get some formal training before you actually create a demo and get yourself out there and try and start booking spots for yourself.
That's
right?
What you've been training your whole life if you've been talking?
That's what I figured. I was like, why am I about to pay someone $150 for an hour of training when I've been talking for the better part of my entire life?
Right.
And so I was like, okay, let's listen to what the internet says, because this is like a very common thing that everybody is saying to do. So I booked a 1 hour consultation first with someone just to get the lay of the land, have him kind of talk me through what the journey generally looks like. And he gave me all sorts of good advice. But the main thing was that he is a character voiceover artist. And he's like, it's very good for you to start in commercial. That is like kind of the good way to get your feet wet with this. And then you can start taking acting and improv classes and things like that. And that's when you can get into the world of acting.
We're
right?
going to hear you in like a Kohl's commercial.
Literally, right?
Do you want some Kohl's cash?
That'd be even worse if he makes it and then you put on your next steamy audiobook and then you hear Justin's voice.
Don't even put that into the universe.
I have goals now. Thank you, Cassie.
You're welcome.
And it's funny because voiceover work also is like people do, you know, the automated voice line that you hear when you call AT&T and you just get like what you think is a robot on the other end. Someone actually voices all that stuff. So there's a whole world to this thing. And so finally the guy recommends me to another coach who specifically is very good at commercial voice acting stuff. And so I take my first lesson with him. And again, I'm like fairly confident in this. I'm like, I need to read some lines. I've seen ad copy before. Like, you know, I've heard Bert and you, Kristen, and everyone in here cut commercials before. I was like, this seems pretty easy, right? And so immediately we start and the guy gives me a script and he goes, I don't want you to think about this one too much. Just like do whatever process you think is right and like just go for the read, right? And in my head, the only thing I was thinking of was like these super dramatic commercials. You're like Sunday, Sunday, Sunday kind of commercial, right?
Monster Jam!
Exactly. I had Monster Jam in my head, so I decided to read the ad kind of like that. But it was a vitamin commercial that I was reading.
And get your vitamins now.
Yeah, literally. And I don't know why that like took over in my head. And he was like, I totally get where you're coming from. This is a very common mistake that people make is they have sort of this voice in the back of their head of what you think you should sound like based on these commercials that have stood out to you in the past. When really it's more about finding your authentic voice and projecting that out into the world.
Well, if I heard a vitamin voice like that... I would be like, I'm not taking those vitamins because I don't want to be that jacked up, man.
What if you do, though?
Well, I think that's a small subset. I don't know if that's really what they're going for.
You're right. You're right. And so I was taking all this in and I was realizing that there's so much more to this. And obviously, I have the utmost respect for so many of these people that do this. And that's their craft that they've been honing for decades. But like for me to just come in and be like, I just got to read some words. Like, how hard could that possibly be? Turns out harder than
you
think.
But you did do a class. And then you did some reads.
Exactly. So right now I've been doing a lot, like I've been practicing just reading out loud for like 15 to 30 minutes every day.
Oh, I'm sure your girlfriend loves that.
Oh, she hates it. Absolutely. I lock myself in my closet and do it because that's the only place where I can get some peace and quiet, or I go for a walk. And so,
oh, so then you're just walking around out in public talking to yourself.
Yeah, I look like a psychopath.
The psychopath is back.
Absolutely.
The Burt Show.
All right. So Mo, there's a theory that if we do all the things that we don't want to do, we will have all of the things we've ever wanted.
That's it. That's simple.
Is it? It's simple, but it's not. I'm trying to wrap my head around like what the meaning of this is.
So the equation of it is simple, but the actual effort, of course, is not as simple. And normally when I hear things online nowadays, a lot of times I'll shake my head like I don't believe that at all. But this is from Mel Robbins, who I believe to be pretty credible. Mm-hmm. And most of the things that she says, I resonate with. And so I was curious as to what you guys would think, because I saw in the comments a lot of people debating if they actually believe her theory. But she is speaking to this theory. And I got this from Simmons.realestate_ on Twitter. And Mel Robbins believes if you simply do all the things that you do not want to do, you will have all the things that you've always wanted.
If you just do the things you do not want to do, you will have everything you have ever wanted.
Expound on that.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, if you want to make $1 million, here's my recommendation. Go to ChatGTP and type in, how do I make $1 million in the next 2 years? Give me a day-by-day plan that I can execute in 15 minutes. And it will probably teach you step-by-step how to launch a business online and get into affiliate marketing. And if you actually do those things, you will have $1 million in the bank. There are formulas for everything you want in life, to lose weight, to find love, to heal your formulas everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to something that you just said, because it's true, right? Somebody out there is listening to you and they was like, that ain't going to work. And that's exactly why you're not going to get it.
Correct.
Of course.
That's exactly why you're not going to get it.
Now, with most things, right, because she said there's a formula to anything that you want. And typically people just do not want to take the actual steps of the formula to get it. I do believe that for most things. I don't know about becoming a millionaire, putting it on ChatGPT, but I've never tried it to say that it wouldn't work. You don't really know that it wouldn't work unless you try it. But I do believe most people mentally will say that it wouldn't work before they even try it. But she said love. That was the one part that was curious to me, because I'm like, can love really be that easy to find, to where it's just a formula and you just, you know, you follow the steps and you find it? Because I feel like more people would be in love if that were the case.
Yeah, no, love is a math equation I've been trying to solve for 10 years. That ain't something you can just rush. Now, I think anything in business, or if you want to change your life in a certain way where there are legitimate steps that you can take, sure, you can predict that there's going to be an outcome, but love is one of those things that, like, it's this great mystery. Like, if you could bottle it up and sell it, you could be a millionaire. But if no one's figured it out, because it's not possible.
Like, I don't know why I'm still grappling. Maybe it's because I had, like, one too many glasses of Savvy B yesterday. Like, I'm still grappling with the concept of doing the things you don't want to do in order to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand, like, her ChatGPT, and you're like, you're incredulous to that it could work. And so if you have to believe, blah, 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 I get all that. but I'm still perplexed by the idea of doing things you don't want to get what you do.
The way I read it was, like, she used the example of whether it's a fitness goal or it's a business goal. And for me, if I look at my patterns in my life, it makes a lot of sense. Like, when I've had fitness goals, I've done it before, so I know it's possible. Like, I know I can do it. But 9 times out of 10, I won't get to the actual goal because I didn't do the work. And I'll find reasons as to why I didn't do the work. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. I couldn't do that. But the truth of the matter is, when I've done the work all the way through, I've got the results. And I think it's the same for business.
Is this another way of, like, establishing accountability and being like, if you want it, you could have it?
That's what I think it is. I think that's what she's saying, is if we were to be truly honest with ourselves and sit down with ourselves and say, did I do absolutely everything I could have in order to achieve that goal? The majority of us are going to tell ourselves we did.
Yeah.
But did you really? More than likely, you didn't. So if you do actually have a goal, there's usually things you don't want to do along the way to get to that goal. But if you do every one of those things, all those days you don't feel like doing it, the times you don't really want to give your all, but if you just do it, I think she has a point.
No, that makes more sense. The way we're talking about it now, I can get on board with. Because I think we convince ourselves that we're, you know, going above and beyond and we're doing everything we can. But I think there are moments when you can dig a little deeper.
Absolutely.
You could go a little harder.
And sometimes you hear someone else's story and what they had to do to get there. And I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe I didn't work as hard as I thought.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rebecca, explain to those who may not know what the Mandela effect is.
So the Mandela effect is a phenomenon where a significant number of people collectively misremember an event, a detail, or a fact. It's named after Nelson Mandela because a lot of people remember Nelson Mandela dying in prison, which is not the case. He lived. Yes.
They actually think they thought he passed in prison?
Yeah, a lot of people think that. People.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's how they named it the Mandela effect.
Yeah, it was coined after Nelson Mandela for that reason. But I had a sweet treat. Nelson Mandela effect happened to me that almost ruined my relationship before it even got started. I had to
wait. Eat sorry,
some
right
words.
Quick.
Yeah,
you're calling it a relationship now?
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Did you ask him to be your boyfriend, or did he ask you to be his girlfriend?
I asked him to be my boyfriend.
Cute.
But that's because he had already asked me and I said no. I said not yet, like it's too soon. So I was like, I can't like wait and make him ask me again. So I was like, you want to be my boyfriend? He's like, yeah, I want to be your boyfriend. So now I got a boyfriend.
Oh, you're so cute.
So this was pre-boyfriend. This was pre-boyfriend time. I had to eat my words because he got me some chocolate and we had our first fight over this bar of chocolate.
You got it out the way.
So this guy I'm dating, now my boyfriend, he is like super sweet. He has this crazy memory where it feels like he can remember things I said on the first date that like I don't even remember telling him. And one thing I told him on our first date is that I love matcha Kit Kats. And matcha Kit Kats are this specific Kit Kat that come from Japan. They're matcha flavored, green, sweet, kind of like bitter. They're so delicious. So on our fifth date, he shows up and he whips it out. It's a bag of matcha Kit Kats.
Oh,
isn't that so sweet?
Very thoughtful.
It's so nice. And I was really, really excited because this is like my favorite sweet treat. And you can't just get it anywhere. You have to go to like a Asian lifestyle store and buy it. And then I was confused because I was looking at the Kit Kats. This Kit Kat. Okay, this is a normal Kit Kat because I ate all of the matcha Kit Kats. They're gone. But I was looking at the label and I was like, something here is missing. So I commented on it and I was like, that's kind of weird. I wonder if in Japan they label Kit Kat differently because it's missing the dash.
I thought the same thing when you held it up. Right? I thought there was a dash.
I knew something was weird about it, but I didn't know what. That is what it is.
And he said, what do you mean? And I said, look, the dash is not on the label. And he said, there's never been a dash on Kit Kat. So I thought to myself, now I have to break up with him because he's gaslighting me about my favorite chocolate. And we did get into a little tiff and we were debating back and forth and I refused to Google it because my pride was too big until I finally had to acquiesce and look it up. And Kit Kat has never had a dash on the label, but I am not the only one who has ever felt this way.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can, when you held it up, I kind of was looking at it like something feels off about it. And I can say with certainty, I thought there was a dash in Kit Kat.
It's always so had a dash.
Yeah, right? We come from like a different dimension, I think. And we were dropped here where Kit Kat had a dash and now suddenly it doesn't. And we're all supposed to pretend that's normal. But I have gathered a few more of these Mandela effects that come from the internet. And I want to see what side you guys are on.
Okay.
Okay, here's the first one. Is Britney Spears wearing a microphone headset in her Oops, I Did It Again music video?
No.
Oh, absolutely.
I've got a no for that one.
No.
Cassie's correct. Yeah, she's not wearing a headset.
But what?
Thousands of people remember her wearing the little headset, probably because she wore it a lot, I think, in other things.
Yeah, well, she wears a headset in concert.
Okay.
In her early concerts, like the Dream Within a Dream tour, she would wear the headset. So I think a lot of people that launched around the same time as Oops, so that's why.
So this one was actually kind of shocking to me. Is the word Meyer in Oscar Meyer spelled with an E or an A?
A.
A.
I can't remember. A?
It's spelled with an A, but you guys are freaks. It's spelled with an E.
Thank you. Rebecca, you and I are from the same universe.
Oh my
clearly.
God. We literally were dropped off here, I swear.
No, but you're confusing me. Is it spelled with an A or an E?
It's spelled with an E, M-A-Y-E-R, but I distinctly remember it always being spelled with an E.
Like M-E-Y-E-R?
Yes.
Me too. It's Oscar Mayer, not Oscar. No, it's Oscar Mayer, not Mayer.
Yeah, why would you call it that if it wasn't Mayer? Okay.
Don't you remember the song, though?
Don't. Oh, no. I wish I wore an Oscar Mayer wiener.
No, not that.
That's what I really want to be.
No, Kristen going to get this song going. You're going to get in the way.
Let her finish.
She's going to get in.
My baloney has a first name.
First name, it's O-S-E-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R.
But they used to play
Oscar
that on
Mayer
AM
has
radio?
A way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Again, Kristen going to get this song going.
Yeah, my bad, sorry.
Don't step on my song.
It's Kristen's Oscar Mayer weenie tour.
Yeah, don't remember that song. Was it pre-1994?
Easily. Okay. Oh my God, yes. That's for them 80s babies.
We settled that one.
Okay, I have a couple more. Does the Monopoly man have a monocle?
Yes.
Yep.
No. Yes.
He does not.
No. Uh-huh. How does he see?
How does he count your money? I don't know, but he doesn't have one.
But the
thousands
peanut
people think so.
The peanut guy does, right?
He does, and that's why people think that people misremember it.
That makes sense.
Okay, this one was actually kind of crazy to me. Can you describe what Tom Cruise is wearing during his risky business dance? Everything he's wearing.
So he's got the white shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Check.
He's got the socks.
Yes.
And then he's also wearing some kind of underwear.
He's boxers. Wearing boxers.
Yeah.
Do you remember him wearing sunglasses?
I do. No, but no. See, I just did the video.
You're right. He's not wearing sunglasses. And I thought he was wearing sunglasses this entire time.
Yeah, because that's only because in my head, you can picture him like rolling out and then having sunglasses on, but only because I did that video for Burt's Big Adventure and I watched it a bajillion times to get the moves right, do I know he's not wearing them.
We just recorded that. I recorded that video for you and I was like, was Kristen wearing sunglasses? My Mandela affected myself. And
I know why people think that. The movie poster, he's wearing sunglasses.
Oh.
I come from a different dimension.
Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
The Burt Show.
I would imagine this be a creepy moment that you go out, you meet what you assume is a stranger, but then you go home and realize that there is a common thread between the two of you, and you think she intentionally put herself in a position to meet you. Did I get that right, Katie?
Yes. I think me and my best friend ran into a woman who was stepping into psycho, and I'm just trying to figure out why she would do something like this. So my best friend and I, we went out to a bar, and typically when we go out to a bar and we're sitting and you're amongst other people, it's not like we're going to socialize with that other group unless it's, you know, someone that's alone. But it's very rare that women will just all interact together and become group friends, right? And so as we're just chilling and we have this drink, this woman, she sits down like a seat over from us and she comes to us and it's given like, okay, she seems like she wants to say something. Like it's there, but we're like, okay, should we just say hi? So we're like, okay, hey girl. She's like, hey. And we're like, okay, you came to the bar alone and stuff. And so we spark conversation and it's like, oh, okay, she's friendly. She's not a threat. We can have a good vibe.
What would deem her a threat?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's the energy. Like, it's yeah. The energy thing.
A sinister vibe.
Yeah, it's like, nah. You know, you can't just be friends with everybody.
She orders something like a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. She's here to get messed up.
Danger.
Yeah, that's the dubious.
Yeah, but she was super friendly, so we didn't think anything of it. We're like, all right, cool. So the night goes on, and she's like, you know what? What's your all social media handles? I'm like, okay, cool. We give her our social media. We exchange info, and then she ends up leaving. And we're like, oh, well, that was pleasant. Met just a nice woman. So my best friend and I, we end up going home. And something we always do is like either we'll talk on the phone on our way home to make sure we both get home safely. And we'll debrief the night. So once we get home, I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, oh, she did end up following me. Did she follow you? And my best friend's like, no, she didn't follow me. I was like, why would she ask for our social media handles and she doesn't follow us? That's weird. So then I go to her page and then I'm searching. I'm like, well, maybe you just don't see it. So I search like my best friend's handle. And I'm like, no, she is following you. And she's like, what? Typically, if someone is following you that day, it will show that it's a recent follow.
Mm-hmm.
No, this woman has been following her for longer than we expected. We're like, if she's already following you, she didn't follow you tonight. When did she start following you? So my best friend is like, let me go look at her page. So she goes and looks at her page. She starts scrolling and she's noticing people in certain pictures, and you go to tag photos and then you can see what photos she's been tagged in. She realizes that this woman is her boyfriend's ex-fiance.
No.
My best friend's boyfriend's ex-fiance.
That's insane.
So we're like, what? Like, what are the chances?
What are the odds?
Yeah. And this woman's already following you. She didn't follow you tonight. She's already been following you. Did she know who you were when she saw us at the bar?
Oh, absolutely.
I would think so.
There's no way. 1,000,000%. And again, to clarify, your friend's boyfriend, that woman, was not his ex-girlfriend, but his ex-fiance.
His ex-fiance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she plotted on y'all the whole time.
But then it's like, okay, if she did that, why? What is the reason? Like, you just see her out in the wild and you're like, I just want to meet. Like,
was she the first? All right. Is she the first person he's dated since the broken engagement?
Yes.
She was trying to read the room. She was trying to see what they were about.
I don't know, but it makes it more believable that that was intentional, what she did at the bar, knowing that there wasn't like a longer span of time in between their broken engagement and that she is the first woman. Is she the reason why the engagement ended, or she just happened to be the woman he dated after his engagement
ended? She just happens to be the woman after.
It doesn't matter if you're the one that ends the relationship or you're the one that gets broken up with. Women need to know that we're better than everybody else you've ever dated. Even if you're currently, like, even if I want nothing to do with you, that small little part of me, that ego, still wants to feel like I'm the best you ever had. So if I'm her and I feel some type of way about this engagement ending, no matter how it ended, and I see this new girl in the wild, I want to go sit next to her and compare my personality to her personality, apples to apples, and see who's got it going on more.
All right, so my question is, but that it's still psycho. That's psycho behavior.
Oh, 100%. Have I considered it? Yes. Would I do it? No.
It makes me wonder. So, did your friend tell her boyfriend that you all ran into his ex-fiance at the bar?
Yeah, she told him after the fact, and he's like, "Well, that's just crazy." Like, he just brushes it off, like that's just odd, strange. He's not really reading anything.
You don't want
to
know about
it. He doesn't.
I really did the same thing. Oh, that's wild. Anyway.
I feel like that's way too nonchalant of a response. You need to be way more chalant than that.
It's like Mo said, he didn't want anything to do with it. Yep. I think that's really what it is.
You don't want anything to do with it, but you have to have a better reaction than like, oh, that's weird. No, like that's
what
that's,
I want him to do.
How would you have responded?
Just like that. Yes, we will. Like, what I'm gonna do? Oh, well, hope you never see her again. I'm gonna keep it moving.
That's crazy.
I can't control her actions. I do think it's odd that she chose to follow you. Like, and because she obviously knows what she's doing. So why did she want to follow you?
Maybe to keep the ruse going that, oh, you guys were just people I happenstanced across. And so.
No, I think it's taking psycho to another level.
Well, no, for sure.
I think she thinks it makes her look less psycho if she's like, oh, well, let me follow you now. So it's not weird that I only follow this random girl.
That makes sense.
I think she was trying to sell. Like, I think she was trying to sell what she was pitching you guys at the bar, which is like, oh, we just met. Let me follow you. And that you guys wouldn't do that much of a deep dive into when she followed whoever.
Yep. That is bizarre, though. Like, if I'm going to step into that kind of psycho, I need my psycho to be a little undercover. Like, I wouldn't have followed your friend, and I would have gone totally private so I can suss out the situation incognito without it being, like, without it making me look crazy. Yeah. I do think it's weird that she's, like, made it public knowledge.
Unless
that she's okay with
it
you.
To be known.
Oh. Mm.
It's all a plot.
Yeah.
She's listening now.
The Burt Show. Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni mess just got even juicier because now superstar A-lister Taylor Swift has been brought into the mix because she has apparently been subpoenaed to testify in this case between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. I will try and give you the quick recap because we have talked about this story ad nauseum. But basically, Justin Baldoni had the rights to this movie, It Ends With Us, which is based off a book, which is all about a relationship that includes domestic violence. Blake Lively got a lot of bad press for the fact that she didn't really focus on domestic violence in all of her press junkets and kind of was just like selling all these products, and people thought it was a little tone deaf. And so then she came out with the story that people sort of feel like was to distract from all the bad press that she was getting for not handling the press junkets the right way, and basically said that she was sexually harassed and retaliated against for speaking out about some of this harassment she claims happened from Justin Baldoni on the set of It Ends With Us. And some of these receipts that she included or that Justin Baldoni included when he ended up suing her back to say that none of that happened and actually he was being extorted on the set of It Ends With Us included some text messages from Blake Lively that were, in a word, bizarre, because she references some of her A-list friends as her dragons. She calls herself Khaleesi, which is one of the main characters in Game of Thrones, which reigns in some dragons, the mother of dragons. And she is referring to herself as Khaleesi, and people like Ryan Reynolds, her husband, and Taylor Swift, her A-list superstar best friend, as her other dragons, and says, in this text message between her and Justin Baldoni, when she is trying to get him to listen to her about some of her ideas in the script, she says, "For better or worse, but usually better, because my dragons also protect those I fight for." It's just very weird situation. And apparently she referenced Taylor Swift because I guess Taylor was sort of loosely involved in some of the casting. And by loosely involved, I mean, like, I think Blake got a say in who was going to play the younger version of herself. And the actress that plays her in this film looks so much like Blake Lively that I think at some point in those conversations, Taylor Swift probably said something along the lines of like, "Oh yeah, you should pick her. She looks exactly like you." And then it turned into this big headline mess for It Ends With Us, because Justin Baldoni even confirmed it that, yeah, Taylor Swift like kind of gave the seal of approval and the blessing for this girl to get cast. So because Taylor has kind of been involved in this case.
Didn't Blake also fight to get a Taylor Swift song in the movie?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she had to fight for it, but also My Tears Ricochet, which is a Taylor Swift song, was also used in the trailer.
There you go.
So that's also kind of a part of it, but not really why she's getting subpoenaed. Like, yes, she was sort of involved, but like not really in the mess of everything that happened on set. So now she's being subpoenaed to testify because of all of this that's going on. Basically, they want her to testify about like why she was being referenced as a dragon in Blake Lively's text messages, her involvement in the film, period. And now Taylor Swift's representatives have come out and been like, "Listen, like she was not even on set." The statement says Taylor Swift never set foot on the set of this movie. She was not involved in any casting or creative decisions. She did not score the film. She never saw an edit or made any notes on the film. She did not even see It Ends With Us until weeks after its public release, which I found to be very interesting because apparently they were like, this is her best friend, and she didn't even see the movie until weeks after, whatever, and was traveling around the globe during 2023 and 2024, headlining the biggest tour in history. The connection Taylor had to this film was permitting the use of one song, My Tears Ricochet. Given that her involvement was licensing a song for the film, which 19 other artists also did, this document subpoena is designed to use Taylor Swift's name to draw public interest by creating tabloid clickbait instead of focusing on the facts of the case.
So when they say Taylor Swift was subpoenaed, this is obviously Justin Baldoni's camp that is subpoenaing her.
Yes, because actually there's rumors in the tabloids that like Taylor Swift is big mad that she's being pulled into this. Because she's like, let me sing a little songs. Let me go on tour. Let me dance my little glittery outfits. I don't want to be involved in any more court cases or any more scandals. In her words, from the Kanye West drama, this is a narrative I did not ask to be a part of.
Because Taylor Swift has made no, like, has not come to her best friend's defense, has made no comment. Like, there has been zero from her or her camp until now that she's been subpoenaed.
And it's not even in defense of Blake Lively, which is crazy. And that, to me, I think is one of the biggest nails in the coffins for Blake Lively. Like, if your best friend is coming forward and saying that she was sexually harassed on set and you don't say anything, that to me says a lot about how Taylor Swift feels about Blake Lively's part in this entire lawsuit. So things are getting crazier. All right. She was invited on Fox News to add political commentary and ended up passing out on set. People can't stop talking about how the other anchor handled it. I'm going to tell you more on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.